Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Everyone know the benefits of the pastoral anointing, or the rewards that come as a result of being submitted to a shepherd. One whom the good shepherd has anointed to lead his flock, his people, his church. How many people are excited about learning some benefits? All right, well, that's what we're going to get into. Now, of course, throughout this entire series, we have covered a lot of different benefits. One of the things we looked at was over in Matthew, the 9th chapter, where Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he saw that they are weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And so notice they were weary and scattered because it was as if they didn't have a shepherd, which infers to me that if they had a shepherd, they would not be weary and scattered. So one of the benefits or rewards of the anointing of a shepherd, the pastor's anointing, is the removal of weariness and being scattered in life. We talked about weary, that word actually means tired, worn out, drained, and fatigued. Scattered means tossed in different directions, just all over the place. Just sounds like confusion to me. Tossed and driven. You know, James talks about the double-minded man who's like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven by the wind. We're not to be tossed and driven in life. We're not to be scattered. We're not to be weary, tired, worn out, drained, and fatigued. Regardless of what we're going through in life, there is an anointing to refresh and strengthen us and to enable us to be able to go through this life not being oppressed, but being blessed. And that's what the anointing of a shepherd does for God's people. Now, it's important to understand and know these things because nothing is automatic in the kingdom of God. Though it is the truth, it has to be believed and received. People have to believe in these things, embrace these things, and treasure these things in their heart for God's word to work for them. Are you with me? If we don't believe, we don't know about these things, then we'll yield ourselves to wrong spirits. We'll be overcome by weariness. We'll be overcome by the enemy and the battles of life, right? We'll be fatigued. We'll fall apart. But when we understand, no, I'm submitted to the local church. I'm submitted to a pastor, a shepherd that God has placed over me. And there's an anointing to help me through this time that I'm going through. There's an anointing to assist me and help me in life. So we got to get fired up and excited about it. Because if you believe these things, that's exactly how you'll be. You'll be fired up and excited. Now I want to go over to Psalm 23 in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now hold your place there and go with me to Psalm 77. Because let's just see about that. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, how does he shepherd you? How does he shepherd you? Well, we've been talking about it in this series, but let's look at a scripture here. Let's look at Psalm 77, verse 20. It says, you, Lord, led your people like a flock, like sheep. Now, who leads sheep in the natural? A shepherd, right? So you, Lord, led your people like a flock, because you're like a shepherd. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So notice how he did it. How did the Lord shepherd his people? He shepherded them through a man by the name of Moses, another man by the name of Aaron, who he anointed with himself. God anointed them with his spirit. And so God led the children of Israel. It wasn't just Moses leading the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was the Lord. It was the shepherd of the flock. He was leading them, but he didn't do it independently of a man. And this is just how God has set things up. This is how he works. It's important to understand that, because people, in looking for God, have missed God because they've overlooked the people that God has anointed and placed in their life to help them. And we don't want to overlook what God has placed in our life, because that's overlooking God. If we miss the anointing, we're missing Him. If we belittle the anointing, we're belittling God. We're limiting Him. And He is the Almighty. There is endless, unlimited amounts of wisdom and power to lay hold of in God. There's no limits in Him in and of Himself. But we limit Him by not believing, by missing Him, by overlooking Him, overlooking how He leads us. So this is how the Lord is our shepherd. It is through a Moses. It is through an Aaron. It is through someone that He anoints. It's through a pastor. And that's what the Bible in the New Testament says. It shows that a pastor and a shepherd, those two words are interchangeably used. All right? So a pastor is a shepherd, and it's the Lord shepherding His people through a pastor. So notice, now, if the Lord is your shepherd, what's the first thing it tells us? I shall not want. Boy, it starts off good, doesn't it? Right? When the Lord's your shepherd, the first thing He states is, you shall not want. Now, this word want means lack, fail, decreased, have need, made lower, be without. So notice, if the Lord is your shepherd, you will not lack. You will not fail. Isn't that good? If the Lord's leading you. Because we know over in the, I think it's 2 Corinthians, it says that He always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in triumph. See, He always leads us in the victory. I think sometimes people follow the Lord to a point and then they jump ship. And when it doesn't look like He's leading them, when it doesn't look like it's working out right, somewhere right there in the middle of their journey with Jesus, they jump ship and lay hold of the wisdom of men and the arm of the flesh to try to help get them through things, and it only causes them to experience more lack. Or they might experience some relief, but there's still lack. And there's still a certain amount of failure. And they diminish in life, and they go to a lower place in life. That's not God's will. We've got to let the Lord be our shepherd and trust He is shepherding me. We got to trust in the shepherd. We got to trust in that anointing of a shepherd. Even now tonight, that anointing is present. The anointing of a shepherd is present. And it's here to drive out failure. It's here to drive out lack from your life. Could you imagine that? See, we got to understand, we're not just here listening to a teaching, a Bible teaching. We're submitting ourselves to that anointing. I'm submitted to that anointing. I reap the greatest benefits of it because it's with me the most. You know, I mean, and I believe in it. It's with me all the time. I draw on it all the time. I'm very, very much aware of it. You know, I've shared it before. I mean, I'll leave service time and time again. And I'll just thank God. Oh, God, that was good. Thank you, Jesus, for the utterance. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll even go back and get my own CD. Go online, listen to it. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I hear things I didn't know I said. Sometimes I go back and listen to it and think, oh, that's good. I didn't realize how good it was. You know, sometimes I get to enjoy it more when I just listen to it. You know, sometimes you're busy serving. You know, you're kind of, can be a little distracted yourself, you know, serving. But when you just sit back and just listen to it, and oh, yeah, this is good stuff. In fact, something I wanted to tell you all to do is to go online or go get the CDs of this series and go back and listen to it again. And I guarantee that you'll hear many things you did not hear while you were here in the service. I guarantee it. And you'll hear it differently too. Because you don't even realize how distracting our minds can be. You know, somebody over here is doing something. I'm ministering. I'm hearing the pastor, but I'm also thinking about the person next to me and that noise behind me. And there's things that distract. But you just pop the audio in and you remove all those distractions. I'm telling you, you'll hear a lot of things you did not hear while you were here, but that you were supposed to hear, because that's why the word was here. It was for you while you were here, to hear what you were supposed to hear. So if you didn't hear everything you were supposed to hear, then it would be a good idea to go back and hear what the Lord is saying to you. So you get everything he wants you to get. So that why? So you don't fail in life. You don't lack in life. You don't diminish. You don't decrease. And you get to the place where you have no need. The CSB translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. Isn't that good? I have what I need. Why don't you say this? Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. The ERV translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. Hallelujah. Let's say it together. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I will always have everything I need. I will always have everything I need. The CEV translation. You, Lord, are my shepherd. I will never be in need. Glory to God. What a life. Say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. I will never be in need. I will never be in need. The CEB translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. So even if it looks like you're lacking things, speak the word of God. Release your faith. Look in the face of supposed lack and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Glory to God. Now, a lot of folks try to claim that, and they're not submitted to a pastor in a local church. So how much is the Lord really able to shepherd them? See, they've limited him. But you're not limiting him. You're not limiting him. So the Lord is your shepherd, isn't he? Isn't that right? He's really the shepherd that shepherds us. And so with him, there is no lack. So those drawing from the shepherd's anointing are not lacking, not deficient, and are in proper care, utterly contented in the shepherd's care, and consequently not craving anything anymore. Not craving anything anymore. Now again, no need, no want, no lack, no craving starts in the soul. It all starts on the inside. This is where God's doing the greater work. And then that works its way out and affects our life out here in the natural. Yeah, it's going to affect your finances. Yeah, it's going to affect all kinds of material, natural things that we face every day. But first it starts in here. And you live a life where in your soul there's no lack. There's no want, right? There's no craving, no desperation for anything. Just rest and peace and satisfaction. Isn't that good? Verse 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, because of the very makeup of sheep, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. A lot of you know my past, and you know as a sheep herder, you know all the experience I have with this. So I study a little bit about sheep. Be good to study a little bit about sheep, right? Being that's who you are. See what the Lord thinks of you. So I'll say it again. Because of the very makeup of sheep, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Number one, due to their timidity, they will not lie down unless they are free of all fear. They're very timid little creatures. So they have to be free of all fear, otherwise they won't lie down. Due to their social behavior within a flock, Sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. So they can't be in friction with other sheep. Otherwise, they're restless. You can't get them to lie down. Number three, they will not lie down if tormented by flies or parasites. They have to be free of these pests to relax. Sheep will not lie down as long as they feel a need to find food. They must be free of hunger. So there must be a definite sense in the sheep, a definite sense of freedom from fear, freedom from tension, aggravation, and hunger. They have to be free of those things. Only the shepherd can provide release from these anxieties. Thank God for the anointing of a shepherd to drive out all these things and allow the sheep to be able to lie down. Where do they lie down? In green pastures. Green pastures. So it's a nice, lush, comfortable place for the sheep to recline. And so the shepherd's anointing clears out the rocks of stony unbelief. It tears out the roots of bitterness and breaks up the hard, proud human heart that is set like sun-dried clay, and then sows the word, creating a place of perfect rest for our souls. Also, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord said, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's a part of that grazing in those green pastures. The Lord's got nice, good food for his flock to feed upon when there's a pastor that is according to his heart. You know, and he does specify shepherds according to my heart, because there are a lot of shepherds that are out there that are not according to the heart of God. They're according to the heart of man and man's ways of doing things. All right, also verse 2, he goes on, he says, "He leads me beside the still waters." Of course, water determines the vitality, strength, and vigor of the sheep, and is essential to its health and general well-being. When sheep are thirsty, they become restless and set out in search of water. If not led to the good water supplies of clean, pure water, they will often end up, I'm talking about regular sheep, they will often end up drinking from the polluted potholes that are full of parasites. So they have to be led to good water. Notice what it says there. He leads me beside the still waters. Just like sheep, they need to be led to where there is water. They need to be led to it. And so we need that leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. And of course, when we're talking about the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit. When we're talking about the anointing of a shepherd, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And so it's that anointing of the Holy Spirit that is going to lead us to where we can get water. Clean, good water. Not polluted water. It's the shepherd that leads the sheep to the water. The shepherd knows where the still, quiet, deep, clean, pure waters can be found. Now, there are actually three sources of water that sheep receive from. They receive the dew on the grass, deep wells, or springs and streams. And this is an amazing thing, that sheep can actually go months on end without drinking. Think about that. They can go months on end without drinking if there is heavy dew on the grass just before grazing. So think about it. Just the water of the dew is enough to sustain them for months. Isn't that amazing? So the shepherd rises during the early quiet hours to bring the sheep to the dew-drenched vegetation. He's got to get them out there where the vegetation is just drenched. He's got to rise early in the morning, and he'll receive that anointed word from God. Now, of course, you know, this is some great truths there. You having the Holy Spirit in your life, being connected to the body of Christ, and plugged in to a local church, and having a pastor over your life, you need to have that personal discipline where you rise up in the morning. I just find that interesting. That sheep, which is what the church is likened to, God's people are likened to, you know, they can live off of the water, of the dew that drenches the vegetation. And we know what time of day that is. That's early morning or sometimes in the evening. That's when that dew is on the ground. And so that's when most people will spend their quiet time with the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you can't pray and seek God in the middle of the afternoon. There's wells and there's streams to receive water from in the afternoon. But think about that. That supply that you receive in your quiet time early in the morning can sustain you. And of course, this is all part of the pastoral anointing in our life to help us to receive that supply of water so that we're not going around dehydrated. Nothing worse than being dehydrated. A lot of folks, they get tired and weary because they're dehydrated. So you got to replenish yourself with natural water. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. You need to constantly be receiving the Holy Spirit because he is that living water. He is the living water. Remember Jesus said in John 7, he cried out and he said, "Come to me, all you who thirst, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then it goes on to say, this he spoke concerning the Spirit who was to be given. Living water, that's the Holy Spirit. So it's not just the letter of the word, it's the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing of God that's going to help sustain us in life. A lot of people, they just got a letter. They just got the letter, and they're drying up. They don't know why they're drying up. I'm reading the Bible. I'm hearing the preaching of the word. Drink. Drink. Lick up the dew. Get the Spirit, not just the letter. Thank God for the dew of heaven. The shepherd's anointing refreshes, rejuvenates, replenishes, and restores, which is what we see in verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The paths of righteousness. A little more history about sheep. Sheep can't find their own way. They need constant help. If left to themselves, they will follow the same trails until they become ruts. Graze the same hills until they turn to desert wastes. Pollute their own ground until it is corrupt with disease and parasites. They must be shifted from pasture to pasture periodically to prevent overgrazing of the land. They don't know any better. They'll mess up their own land. They'll just stay there. It sounds like being stuck in tradition and having some bad habits. Well, likewise, Christians left to themselves get stuck in tradition and bad habits. If left to themselves, they'll almost always turn the scriptures to fit the way they favor and are most comfortable. That's what they'll do, see? If you're just left to yourself, say, "I got me, the Holy Spirit, and my Bible." Yeah, I know people like that. And they disconnect themselves from a shepherd, from a pastor, from that anointing, and oh my, boy, do they make a mess of the Bible fast. I'm serious. They make a mess of the Bible fast. It's amazing. I've seen it over the years, you know. People, soon as their heart disconnects from their shepherd, next thing you know, they've got all kinds of error in doctrine. They stop believing. They stop believing all kinds of crazy things. You think, what in the world did you, where did you get that? But it's what they want to believe. They want to believe what they want to believe. And that's why you can't always believe yourself. Because the Bible says that each one will proclaim his own goodness. Everybody thinks they're a whole lot better than they are. But that's what's great about having a pastor. Because he can reveal the truth about you to yourself. And show you that what you believe, not right. Right? Right? But you think you're so right, but then you have somebody you're accountable to. Right? Or you come and you sit under that anointing, all of a sudden that anointing just opens eyes and exposes lies. Right? Just cuts to the heart. And things that you thought were all right, now suddenly you realize, this is all wrong. See? And we need that because people will easily become self-deceived. But God's put an anointing in their life to help keep them from that, and that's that pastor's anointing. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Say, my shepherd's leading me. My shepherd's leading me. He's leading me in paths of righteousness. An anointed shepherd will keep moving the flock onto wholesome new forage. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice that. Though I walk through the valley. Valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that send walls of water violently down the slopes. There could be rock slides, mud or snow avalanches, and a dozen other natural disasters that would destroy or injure sheep. The shepherd's anointing keeps you walking through your valley. In other words, you're not going to die in the valley. You're not going to fall apart and collapse in the valley. Though I walk through. Somebody say, I'm going through. Yeah, see, that shepherd's anointing will keep you moving through that trial. Have you ever gone through a trial where you just wanted to throw your hands up and quit? Lie down in the mudslide. Be buried under the avalanche of snow. Huh? Just give up. Just let it all, just forget it. Just forget it. No, thank God. Then you came to church on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Right when you thought you were going to fall apart under the rocks. Thank God the anointing lifted you up and got you out of there. Started beating your enemies off you. Lifted you to your feet. Said, keep walking. Walk through this valley. And as you walked through, bless God, before you knew it, you were back on the mountaintop again. That shepherd's anointing, it keeps the disappointments, frustrations, the discouragements, the dilemmas, the dark and difficult days from being disastrous. They just become a road to higher ground. Praise God. You're going through a trial, bless God, just know you're on your way to higher ground. Turn to somebody and tell them, say, I'm on my way to higher ground. That's right. That's why, verse 4, I will not fear. I'll fear no evil. Sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit jumping out of a bush, startling them, can stampede a whole flock. When a startled sheep runs in fright, a dozen others will bolt with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what frightened them. They are helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only recourse is to run. And how I've watched folks run over the years. Where are you going? They just run. One sheep bolts, and they all bolt. One sheep runs. Me, I was just a jackrabbit. Little devil, you know, little devil. No bigger or stronger than a jackrabbit. Spoke a few lies, and off they went. Running, running, running. But anyway. When you know your shepherd is standing there, you don't have to run. There's peace. When the sheep look and they see that shepherd standing there, and he's got something in his hand. He says, "For you are with me. I'll fear no evil, for because you are with me." You're standing there. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Rod and staff. That rod and staff acted as a weapon for that shepherd. Today, they carry rifles. They'll carry a gun. That's the rod and staff. And that brings peace and comfort. When the sheep look over and they see their shepherd standing there, something's panicking them. Something's getting them nervous. They look over and the shepherd's standing there with his rifle. Walking out there in the field. Hey, no, it's okay. It's okay. The shepherd's on the watch. It is well. Amen. You say, well, sheep wouldn't know that. You know, I'm amazed how animals know what certain things are. It's very strange. You know, growing up, we had a collie dog. And if you pulled out a fake gun, he would, very calm dog, would just start, he'd jump up, he'd stop barking, he'd get very upset. If I pointed a gun at my sister or something, you know, he would just go wild. It was like he knew what it was. If a firecracker went off or something, you know, it was like he knew what a gun was. And I don't know how he instinctively knew what a gun was, but he did. He knew that that gun was a dangerous weapon. In fact, now we've got a couple birds. And we got this little parrot. This little parrot. You know, parrots are pretty smart. They can repeat what you say and things. We got our parrot. You know, when he gets upset, you come near his cage, he goes, "What are you doing?" That's what he does. "What are you doing? Am I right? Right? What are you doing?" That's what he does. Yeah. At least it sounds like he's saying that. "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And you can tell he's upset. You don't want to mess with him at that moment, because he'll bite you if you stick your hand into that moment. But anyway, you know, he was being really hard to get one day. And I thought, get me a glove. So I got this big winter foam black glove. I've never used it. Because the lady that sold me the bird, she said, "No, never use a glove. Because they won't know what it is." And I finally got desperate one day to say, "Get me the glove. Bring me the glove." So they brought me the glove. And it was this big, you know, like your skiing glove, you know. So I took the glove. When he saw the glove, because he would attack your hand. You'd go in there, he's like, if you go to open the door to the cage, he's ready to bite your finger. Like, give me the glove. So I didn't even put the glove on. He saw the glove and he ran. And he climbed up the back of the cage. And he's climbing up and he's terrified of the glove. I'm like, how does he know that I'm going to put this thing on and take him by force? How does he even know that? Never did it before, but he knew that that was a glove. You can wave all kinds of things in front of him. It didn't matter. If I took the glove out, he knew what that was. He knew he could not defend himself against the glove, even though he has had no experience with it. Isn't that amazing? So it was an instinctive thing. So that's why I can see that, how sheep could, you know, when they see that shepherd standing there with his rod, they know we're safe. He's got the gun. Everything's going to be all right. Each shepherd boy, from the time he first starts to tend his father's flock, takes special care in the selection of a rod and staff, exactly suited to his own size and strength. So in other words, this thing is very personal. It's a part of that shepherd, that rod and that staff. And of course, we know that the rod in the Word of God is a picture of the Word of God. It's how God disciplines us. You know, in the natural, it talks about not sparing the rod in order to discipline your child. And there it's, you know, today we would say a paddle, you know. You'd use a paddle to discipline your child. He says, well, that's the Word of God is likened to a rod. It's something God uses to discipline us, to correct us. And how does he do that? Does he spank us? No, he convicts us. So it's that convicting Word of God that that anointing of a shepherd brings to the congregation that actually helps them feel safe and secure. Correction has a way of bringing peace. When you're being corrected, I've seen that, you know, instead of people being offended. Now, there's been people that have been offended. But good sheep that want to walk in the truth and submit to the Word of God, they receive that correction, and it brings security into their life. It makes them feel secure. I don't think there's sheep are going to feel secure if you just always are speaking flattery to them, always speaking everything they want to hear. They might like it in the flesh, but it's not going to help them to feel secure and truly loved. Because just like the Bible says, with a natural parent, if you withhold the rod from your child, if you withhold discipline from your child, the Bible says you hate your child. You hate your child. But as many as the Lord loves, he corrects. He corrects those he loves. And those that are bearing fruit, he will prune. He will correct even more so that they can bear more fruit. So correction is love. When it's done, of course, in the right spirit, not done out of anger and frustration because of how you make me feel. It's not done out of anger, but when it's done out of love, it helps people feel safe. So it's the convicting word of God is that rod, and the staff represents the comforting presence of God. The comforting presence of the convicting word and the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit remind congregations that they are loved and cared for. Because no pastor in his right mind, if his goal was to win people to himself, would get up and say things that convict and correct them. He wouldn't say things that they don't want to hear in the flesh. Why? Because he wants them to like him, and he wants to keep them in his little world. Because that's what it's all about. He's not thinking about them and caring for them and loving them. So you know when you're being corrected and the word is straightforward and to the point and cutting and everything else, you know the pastor isn't out for his own well-being, but he's watching out for yours. Amen? And that'll make you feel safe. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me. Now, this is interesting. David probably was referring or paralleling a table we sit at as humans to the tableland of the high summer ranges where sheep can graze. There are difficult plateaus for the sheep to attain to, but a shepherd can get them there safely, while the enemies of the flock can only look on and watch. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God we can go to this table. We can go to the higher places and feed on the good word of God. Get into the deep things of God. How many want to get into the deep things of God? Yes. And thank God there's a table prepared before us. That anointing will get the deeper truths of God to us. The shepherd anointing will take you to high places in God that envious demons, once angels, coveted. You understand that, right? Lucifer, he coveted after certain things that caused him to be thrown from heaven and become a demon, become a devil. Satan was Lucifer before he fell from heaven. And Lucifer said in Isaiah chapter 14, it's recorded, he said, I will ascend into heaven. I'll set my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High. That got him kicked out of heaven and caused him to be bound in chains of darkness. And then later he's going to be thrown into a lake of fire. Because why? Because he wanted to ascend into heaven and be like the Most High. But you know what's really awesome? You go over there in Thessalonians, the Bible says that there's going to be a great trumpet that's going to blast. And the Bible says we are going to look up, see Jesus, and we're going to ascend into heaven. And when we see him, we're going to be like him. We will be like God. Hallelujah. We will ascend to heaven, be like God. Everything Lucifer coveted, he lost everything to have what you and I have had freely bestowed on us. So God wants to take us up higher, and he wants us to start partaking of that now, right in the presence of the devil. Rub it in, church. Rub it in. Amen. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. And just make the devil more miserable. Verse 5 again, you anoint my head with oil. Now, summertime is fly time. All kinds of flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and other minute winged parasites will attack animals, turning their summer months into a time of torture. Don't you just hate that? You go to a zoo or something like that, and you got these animals, they weren't given hands, you know, and they got the horses, and the flies are in their eyes and in their ear, and their nose, just torturous. Just looking at it is terrible. For relief from these annoyances, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, posts, or brush. They will rub their noses in the soil and thrash around against woody growth. This is what sheep will do. And I've seen this, and it's not just in the summer months. I've seen this among humans. You think, what in the world are you beating your head against the wall for? Thrashing, tormented, tortured. Why? Because of Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, the devil. He's likened to flies. Demons are likened to flies. And they'll get in here and they'll try to torment you and torture your mind. But a shepherd will smear a mixture of oils around the nose and head of the sheep to repel the flies from torturing the sheep. Thank God for that anointing that keeps the flies away. Whew, hallelujah. That's worth coming to church for right there. Just, you don't have to beat your head against anything anymore. You can just come and get some oil. Hallelujah. Get some oil. My cup runs over. Somebody say, my cup runs over. Thank God he's not just giving you little droplets. God wants to fill you to overflowing. He said, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. Abundantly. He wants us to have that. And one of the ways he helps us to attain to that life of overflow is by being submitted under the anointing of a pastor. Thank God for the rewards and benefits of a pastor. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Hallelujah. Follow you, that's from behind. It's following you. The shepherd's anointing has your back. In other words, it's got parts of your life that you can't see. There's things that you can't see. There's areas where people are blindsided. There's things they don't see. But thank God that anointing will cause them to see things that they could not see just by their own private Bible devotional time. That's why we need to come to church. You need to hear the word of God. Help you see things that you can't see so that the devil can't sneak up behind you. But when you turn around, goodness and mercy is standing there. Hallelujah. And it's taking care of you. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Let me say forever. In other words, it's so good around here. It's so good at the ranch. Some people enjoying the ranch. You know, people don't know how good it is here at the ranch. We got ourselves a ranch. Huh? It's so good here at the ranch, you never want to leave. You never want to leave. It's forever. It's forever. When you find a good thing, bless God, it's forever. You know, people jump around from church to church and go to this church and go to that church, but leaving a church should be as uncommon as leaving your family. People don't typically just leave their family. It's not, I mean, it happens, but it's not the norm. Well, leaving churches shouldn't be the norm. It should be a place where we want to be forever. We want to be forever. God's house on earth, the church, is to be an extension off of the house of the Lord in heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The local church is to be an extension off of that house of the Lord in heaven. So we're already experiencing his house right here in the local church. We're already experiencing that house. And thank God that anointing of the shepherd is here with us, helping us, keeping us, protecting us, guiding us. Can you say amen? Keeping us from want and lack, causing us to be able to lie down and rest. And he's anointing our head with oil and keeping the demons off. And praise God, our cup's running over and goodness and mercy's following us all the days of our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we say, thank God for the benefits of the pastor anointing. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's receive everything God's got for us. Glory to God. Why don't we stand on our feet? Let's just thank him tonight for it. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.